Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
3, 2, 1. President Pro Tem Bowman?
Present.
Councilwoman Everhart?
Present.
Councilmember Farrelletto?
Here.
Councilmember Golombek?
Here.
Majority Leader Halton Pope?
Present.
Councilmember Nowakowski?
Present.
Councilmember Rivera?
Present.
Council President Scanlon? Councilmember Wyatt?
Here.
Quorum is present.
Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please remain standing for our guest invocation. We have Reverend John Burkholder of Sword of the Spirit Ministries.
With the Buffalo Common Council today. And more importantly, Lord, I thank you for the beautifully and diverse communities that each member represents. Father, your word says that you approached Solomon and asked him what he needed from you. And Lord, he didn't ask you for riches and he didn't ask you for wealth or anything like that, but what he did ask was for a heart to serve the people. He asked for discernment and he asked in righteousness. And very simply today, Lord, we ask you for that same blessing. Father, we just pray a blessing upon this meeting, upon this council, upon this city. We declare your advancement, we declare your increase, and most of all, we declare that the wonderful plan and the purpose that you have for this great city of ours will continue to unfold in these days and these weeks and these years to come. We thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Council members in memoriam, Councilmember Golombek.
Thank you, Mr. President. Erie County, a couple of weeks ago, lost Judge Pat Nemoyer. He was one of those guys that when I was first getting active in Democratic politics back in 1983, him and his brother were two of the first people that I had met. I think his brother was running for office that year. But he's going to be very sorely missed by his family and friends. And also the Black Rock community lost James Lauk, resident of historic Black Rock, left behind his wife, his family, his friends, and his church people at Assumption Church. Thank you.
Okay. And for those names mentioned, as well as our men and women in the armed services and our first responders, let's honor them with a moment of silence. Thank you. No special presentations, so on a motion from Majority Leader Holland Pope, seconded by Councilmember Everhart, the minutes of the state of meeting held on May 27, 2025 were approved. Council members, you have the late files before you. Are there any objections to the late files? Hearing no objections to the late files, we'll hear the agenda in its entirety. This does not take away your right to pause the meeting if you haven't had a chance to review those late files. Clerk, from the top.
Item number one, appointments to Buffalo Erie County Public Library.
Motion to send to community development.
Seconded by Councilmember Nowakowski.
Item number two, designated developer agreement for 59 Memorial and 332 Curtis.
Seconded by Councilmember Nowakowski, who has the floor?
I haven't even.
No.
All right. Motion to approve.
Seconded by Councilmember Nowakowski, who has the floor?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I really appreciate this body
quickly approving the designated developer agreement for the Central Terminal. And as someone who joined this council 6 years ago, I want to acknowledge my predecessor, David Franczak, who served the Fillmore District for over 30 years and was the leading champion of the terminal when no one else was. Former Mayor Jimmy Griffin was not a fan of the terminal, and the owner at every turn during those days wanted it to be demolished and didn't care about the structure. But the city of Buffalo has beautiful architecture, and the Central Terminal is something that could never be replicated. And during those times, during the hard fights of the 90s and the early 2000s, when there was vacancy and abandonment and people thought preservation was silly, did not appreciate the people, the men and women who built this city, and the craftsmanship that was our built environment at the time that could never be replicated to today. So David Franczak, this day is for him, for a council member that stuck it out when everyone said he was foolish to do so. And so, yes, the Central Terminal was able to get a windfall of state money for an adaptive reuse, but a designated developer agreement is something tangible and something that is real, and a cultural asset for Broadway, Fillmore, and the city of Buffalo that will be a significant structure, but also utilized by the entire city of Buffalo when it's to completion. And I'm honored to be able to, during my tenure, be able to move this item. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Item number three, contract amendment for Labella Associates Environmental Consulting at Unity Island. Motion to approve items 3 through 7.
Seconded by Councilmember Rivera.
Item number eight, report of sale 63 Wood. Motion to send to community development.
Seconded by Councilmember Golombek.
Item number nine, report of sale portion of 147 Kingsley. Motion to approve items 9 and 10.
Seconded by Councilmember Farrelletto.
Item number 11, submission of monthly report for May 2025. Motion to receive and file items 11 and 12.
Seconded by Councilmember Wyatt.
Item number 13, fiscal year 2025-2026 capital debt payment fund. Motion to send to finance.
Seconded by Councilmember Nowakowski.
Item number 14.
Councilmember Wyatt has the floor.
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to just piggyback, if we can go back to number 12 regarding Ms. Ortiz settlement.
If we can go back to that at the end.
We'll revisit at the end. Okay.
Item number 14, KOW Municipal Incorporated Reassessment Contract Extension. Motion to approve.
Seconded by Councilwoman Everhart.
Item number 15, notification serial. Motion to receive and file.
Seconded by Councilmember Rivera.
Item number 16, change order for Meriwether Library. Motion to approve items 16 through and including 32.
Seconded by Councilmember Golombek.
Item number 33, notice of status change. Motion to send items 33 through 35 to civil service.
Seconded by Councilmember Farrelletto.
Item number 36, permission to accept CHIPS funds for 2025-2026. Motion to approve items 36 through and including 46.
Seconded by Councilmember Wyatt.
Item number 47, property manager. Motion to send the legislation.
Seconded by Councilmember Nowakowski.
Item number 48, secondhand dealer license. Motion to approve.
Seconded by Councilwoman Everhart.
Item number 49, tire handler license. Motion to send items 49 through 51 to the legislation committee.
Seconded by Councilmember Rivera.
Item number 52, permission to amend ARP sub-recipient agreement. Motion to approve items 52 through 54.
Seconded by Councilmember Golombek.
Item number 55, Buffalo Sewer Authority 2025-2026 budget. Motion to send to finance.
Seconded by Councilmember Farrelletto.
Item number 56, items returned to city clerk by mayor without approval and disapproval. Motion to receive and file items 56 and 57. Mr. President Pro Tem, can we just ask them to close the door up top?
Yes, security, can you please close the door up top? Clayton has. And that was seconded by Councilmember Farrelletto.
Item number 58, notices of appointment, sent provisional permanent. Motion to send items 58 and 59 to civil service.
Seconded by Councilmember Wyatt.
Miscellaneous, item number 60, request for lineage-based integrity of Buffalo's Juneteenth events. Motion to receive and file.
Seconded by Councilmember Nowakowski.
Item number 61, concern City of Buffalo contracts and apprentice requirements. Motion to send to community development.
Seconded by Councilmember Everhart.
Item number 62, seeker negative declaration.
Motion to adopt.
Second by Councilmember Rivera.
Petitions. Item number 63, special use 444 Forest.
Motion to send items 63 and 64 to legislation and the city planning board.
Second by Councilmember Golombek.
Submission list, civil service. Item number 1, certificate of appointment.
Motion to approve items 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Second by Councilmember Ferraletto.
Item number 5, notice of appointment, bridge operating engineer.
Motion to receive and file items number 5 through 12, including 12.
Second by Councilmember Nowakowski.
Finance, item number 13, resolution calling for a comprehensive review of the City of Buffalo's municipal.
Motion to receive and file.
Second by Councilmember Navarre.
Item number 14, establishing property tax circuit breaker program to protect.
Motion to adopt with resolves and remainder sent to finance.
Second by Councilmember Rivera.
Community development, item number 15, permission to enter into agreement, yard waste disposal.
I am asking to recommit that, please.
Okay, motion is to recommit.
Second by Councilmember Ferraretto.
Item number 16, winter snow plan for 2024-2025.
Motion to receive and file.
Second by Councilmember Wyatt.
Legislation, item number 17, Big Heart Pet Brands.
Motion to approve items 17 through 19.
Second by Councilmember Nowakowski.
20, property manager.
Motion to recommit.
Second by Councilmember Rivera.
Item number 21, property manager's license.
Motion to approve items 21 through 25.
Second by Councilmember Rivera.
Item number 26, opposition to cannabis establishment at 758 Elmwood.
Motion to receive and file.
Second by Councilmember Golombek.
Item number 27, slaughterhouse license.
Motion to recommit items 27 through 29.
Second by Councilmember Golombek.
Item number 30, local landmark, 840 William Street.
Motion to approve.
Second by Councilmember Wyatt.
Claims, item number 31, James and Earl Kestner.
Motion is to approve items 31 through 40.
Second by Councilmember Nowakowski.
Resolutions, item number 65, hiring of a deputy chief of staff.
Motion to adopt.
Second by Councilmember Wyatt.
Item number 66, fee waiver, Italian Heritage Festival 2025.
Motion to approve items 66 and 67.
Second by Councilwoman Everhart.
Item number 68, ordinance amendment for chapter 175.
Motion to send items 68 and 69 to legislation.
Second by Councilmember Rivera. And Councilmember Golombek has the floor.
Thank you. Item number 69 is in regards to the City of Buffalo budget. You know, I was opposed to changing the dates originally to whether it was April 1st or 8th or 15th or whatever. And I think that after the process this year, quite honestly, I don't think that April 8th through May 26th really changed anything, except that there was a much longer time period that I don't think we did as much work as when we had to do it from May 1st through May 21st. My contention has been all along that 3 weeks is more than enough time to sit down and work on the budget. And just the history of this going back to when I was an intern here, when I was an assistant here, and then working on, I think this year was my 26th budget as a council member, we did a lot more work when it was May 1st through 21st than we did in the 49 days this spring. I think that it's sort of like when you're in school, whether it's high school or college, and you're told at the end of the semester, you have until this date in order to get your project in. January rolls along, February, March, and all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, May 1st is the end of the semester, I gotta get this done. For whatever reason, we didn't work as hard on the budget over that length of time, in my opinion, as we did over those 21 days. I don't think that there was any more transparency during those 49 days. I don't think that there were any more meetings over those 49 days, and I think the majority leader said that she and I had, I think, attended every single one of them. I thought I missed one, but I'm not positive on that. But I just don't think that 49 days worked, and I think that this should be discussed in committee. I remember when I opposed this, I was told that it would be more transparent. And when I asked how, I was told, well, it will be. Well, I didn't see it being more transparent. I didn't see it being less transparent, but I didn't see it being more transparent. So I just think that we should go back to the way that it had worked in the past, May 1st through May 21st. I think that there are some staff members here, not necessarily in central staff, that had worked on the old budgets in the past. And that was when we used to go into room 1417. And well, we were told from May 1st to May 10th to be available. We were told that from May 10th until May 21st, because one of the two things that's written in the budget or in the city charter that we get paid for is legislation and passing the budget. And we were told that for those three weeks in May, especially the last 10, 11, 12 days, that we needed to be available 24/7. And I remember when Mr. Pitts was council president, and when we would have the work sessions in room 1417, there were days that we didn't get out of here until 6, 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night, because we literally went through the budget book line by line by line. I did ask about doing that again this year. I sent out a text message to all my colleagues. We ended up not really doing it, which I was disappointed on. But I just don't think that this new budget process was any more efficient. I think, quite honestly, it was less efficient. And I think that we should go back to the old way of doing things, May 1st through 21st. And I think that there's some former council members that, you know, we could even ask, you know, if Mr. Pitts was available, if Mr. Lavallo was available, to talk about the reasons why the May 1st through 21st budget process worked. And finally, of course, the one problem is, and I don't care who the administration is, I don't care who the mayor is, we get approximately, what, two-fifths of our money from New York State, because as per the New York State Constitution, we are a ward of the state. The state budget comes out, is supposed to be approved by April 1st. If the mayor's office, and once again, whoever that mayor is, has to submit a budget prior to May 1st, it is completely a guesstimate, especially if the budget in New York State has not been voted yes upon. I know that we've had a lot of people that have said, you know, all this budget and the budgets that we've voted on has been out of whack, and it has been. I don't think I've voted on a single budget in my time on this council that has been a realistic budget. And the reason I say that is because we anticipate dollars from Albany. We anticipate that 97% of the people who owe taxes in the city of Buffalo will pay. We don't know how much money we're going to get. We don't know how many people are going to pay, like what happened in 2020 during COVID. We didn't have that 97% like we usually get. So I think that this is something that we should actually truly discuss publicly in legislation. I would like to ask that we invite perhaps some former council members to come in and talk about the process from May 1st through May 21st, and why perhaps in their opinion it's better or worse the way we're doing it now versus then. I for one think that the 2 months was just too long, and I think that we're much better if we have May 1st through May 21st, have it condensed into that time period, and go through the budget like we used to in the old days, line by line by line. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Wyatt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And of course, I disagree totally. You know, here we are dealing with financial crisis in our city, and instead of doing something more efficient, more effective, meaning having more engagement with the public, we're saying we want less engagement. We want to go back to the old way. Well, since we got the same result, maybe, but I will still go into that dark night and say, we need to be more public. We need to make sure the public has more exposure to the budget, not less, especially when they're the one footing the bill. You can sit here and rail on as long as you want about who did what, who, this is yesterday. I'm talking about today. I'm talking about the crisis today. I'm talking about the increase in taxes that's affecting people who are already struggling today, not those from yesterday. They ain't doing nothing for me today. But the ones for today, let's have the robust conversation and open the budget up to them. Let them see how many people are making six figures while they're eating steak and lobster, they're eating hamburger. Let's show those people those numbers for real. If we want to have a true transparent process, this wasn't a true transparent process. It was going through the same old motions. And I'm not blaming anybody, but I am saying we shouldn't go backwards. Other cities have a lengthy time in going through the budget that's maybe more effective, and we have to get to that point. This is the first time we've done it. So because it didn't work the first time, we're going to throw the baby out the bathwater because it didn't work the first time the way they wanted to for their person. That's the way I look at it.
So at the end of the day, we have people in the city of Buffalo struggling, and we want to go through the same process because we don't want to make change. We want to hear the same old voices, we want to get the same old people connected, taken care of, but the people who are struggling that need assistance, that we should be pulling together and say, how do we get more money to these youth programs? How do we get more money to seniors? We just wasted $331 million, but we want to go back to an old way that's impacted negatively the city of Buffalo's residents, who's the third poorest of our size while you've been elected. I say pooey on that. Thank you.
Councilmember Farrelletto.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Councilmember, I'll get you next. Farrelletto.
No, I was just seeing if we could revisit item 16 to change the motion on it. I didn't know if we were still on the... Sorry.
I'll go back to the end.
Thank you very much. Mr. Chairman, I'm not going to pooey this. However, I do agree with the previous concerns regarding the budget. I think this council voted to move the date. We can't depend on the state to give us a steadfast date as to when they're going to approve the budget. That's not going to happen. It could have extended. It could have been even longer. The fact that we didn't make much changes to the budget is a good question. There were opportunities to go line by line. If a council member wanted to, he could have stated it, what lines he's referring to, what changes he would have liked. That could have been part of the discussion. To just say, hey, we could have done it. You know, it's easy to point things out. The problem is the solutions. If you feel that we could have gone line by line in the budget, then tell us what those lines are that you're referring to that perhaps we could have looked at and dug a little deeper. I would have been glad to sit here and listen to it. But no, you didn't hear a peep with regards to all those lines in the budget. There's an opportunity now to do that. If we didn't do it, shame on us. But the opportunity is there based on the schedule that we have. We can do exactly that. I voted off on the budget because I thought more could have been done. More amendments could have been done. Could have taken more time. The fact that we didn't, I mean, that's our decision. But the time was available to us to do it, although it wasn't done. So I agree with the process as it is. It gives us more time to look at it. In terms of transparency and accountability, the fact that we have more time allows for that transparency and that accountability. The fact that we extended it allows for that. So I disagree with the council member. I agree with the majority leader who proposed this and the council members that supported it previously. Thank you.
Thank you. Majority leader.
Thank you. We are going to discuss this in legislation, which is really helpful. I'm grateful for the discussion, but I just want to, as a point of clarification, New York State has not changed their allocation to the city of Buffalo in years. It's been at $161 million consistently, with the exception of the last 2 years. And what will happen next year, where we'll get an extra $5 million per the agreement of the governor back in 2024. So the issue with the holdup with the city of Buffalo, we've known and we will always know that its baseline will always be at $161 million from the state of New York consistently. That's not going to change. What was a holdup, if there were two legislative items or Article 7 language items that we were waiting on and the administration was waiting on to see if they would happen. It is not normal in these times that it takes 40 days for the budget to pass. And so the April 8th date was initially chosen. There was a request to move it to April the 15th, and I was willing to do so, but there wasn't consensus on that date to give a little bit of time, but it's rare that the deadline ever moves beyond that. I look forward to a robust conversation in our legislation committee on Tuesday.
Yeah, I do as well. I just want to say, as far as the budget process goes, Councilmember Galanik did reach out about doing additional sessions. We did hold one, but you know, I'm open to going into it further and digging into this budget as much as possible. So, you know, for future years, certainly something we'll look at scheduling and doing, and having an open process. I thought the public hearing was well attended and very robust. We had a lot of voices in here. Even if they weren't all happy with us, they had an opportunity to have their voice heard. So
Thank you. Councilmember Nowakowski.
Thank you, Mr. President. And just to, you know, clarify, you know, as we have more time, it's just very specific that we know what we can do and can control as council members. We have to produce amendments. For just to reiterate again, if we are to ever vote down a mayor's budget, whoever's it is, it means theirs stands as is. So if we are going to go line by line and we're going to have additional time to review, we need to understand that we need to propose amendments, get the votes to do it, and then amend the budget. And it's not an up or down quick hit, yes, no, and instant gratification. It's work and it's amendments. And if you cut and you move, you have to balance the other side. There's been times where we've been in my office with you, Mr. President, with Councilmember Rivera and Councilmember Wyatt up until 2 a.m. with our clerk producing amendments, because if we take from somewhere we cut, that means we have to balance it on the other side. So if we have more time, I just want to remind the council members of what our prerogative is, and that's through the amending process as our charter as written. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Motion stands.
Item number 70, transfer of funds for legal settlement payments.
Motion to approve.
Seconded by Councilwoman Nowakowski.
Item number 71, ordinance amendment chapter 309, perks.
Motion to send item 71 and 72 to legislation.
Seconded by Councilwoman Everhart.
Item number 73, appoint deputy chief of staff to common council.
Motion to send to civil service.
Seconded by Councilwoman Rivera.
Item number 74, calling for immediate action and accountability in the city of Buffalo.
Motion to send item 74 and 75 to legislation.
Seconded by Councilmember Wyatt, who has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm looking forward to someone from Erie County coming in as it relates to this money that we received regarding lead. I just don't want that money to go back. We know that this is a real issue that's been an issue for a long time. I hope that we can get something done with this money. We just can't afford to send it back when there's so many families being affected by the lead hazards. And so if we can have someone come in to speak to us on the deadlines regarding this, the dollars that we have available to us, I would love that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. President, for the time, I will also probably ask that we have somebody from Bureau also come and speak on it, as they were the ones who were allocating those dollars. Yep. Thank you.
Item number 76, prohibit the sale of ATVs within the city of Buffalo.
Motion to adopt.
Seconded by Councilmember Ryan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you to the Majority Leader for her support and my colleagues. We know that this has been a big issue. I know Councilmember Bowman and Nowakowski led the effort to increase fines, and we all supported that, but it's still a dangerous situation. We know as summer is approaching, we're going to see these ATVs out in full force, as well as dirt bikes through our city. And this is not to, and I just want to be clear, this is not to grab any money, because I don't know if we received the $2,500 for anyone coming back to get their ATV, but we do know that it creates a dangerous situation in our streets where we have little children, we have other seniors, we have so many, because many times these individuals who are riding these vehicles are just driving just haphazardly without any concern. And that's unfortunate. As I said before, I've seen, you know, 10 to 15 of them riding the 33 doing willies right in the middle of the street while cars are zooming. So we need to ban this. It may not fix it. I don't know. We want to try something. As I said, Councilwoman Everhart saw that in her district they were selling them in her district, you know, and had to go and talk to these folks. These are things that we as council members do our best to at least put a face on it. But the legislation to stop anyone, because I don't believe we have any ATV dealers in the city, but we do have others who take on that responsibility and sell these things that they know are a danger to our city. So I hope that if there is anyone who is looking to do that, they won't do it, and this legislation will make certain they don't do it, because it'll be illegal. And again, thank my colleagues for their support in this.
Thank you. Councilmember Nowakowski.
Thank you, Mr. President. And if the sponsors are okay with it, I would like to join on this this call, because as you know, a few years ago we changed the fees and the fines of it, but we also prohibited that if you can't show that you own the all-terrain vehicle, we will not release it to you. Previously, we would confiscate them and then we would put them back on the street, and that would just make everyone more dangerous. And I've heard some really silly things when I proposed this a couple years ago, and they'd come up to, some folks would come up to me at Wegmans and they'd say, well, why don't you just build an ATV park? The city of Buffalo is not in the business to build an ATV park. All-terrain vehicles are a threat to public safety. Then I hear from the Buffalo, why do the BPD have a no chase policy? Because how does a car chase an ATV over a sidewalk? How is that benefiting to anyone, or how does that keep people safe? The fact is we live in Western New York. We are urban, rural, and suburban. And this is an urban issue that we cannot have all-terrain vehicles because we are not built to have them in our city proper. They're a threat to public safety. I have been, at times when I've been on the 198, where I've been surrounded by probably 30 of them, and it felt like we were going to get capsized while going 55 miles an hour. There's been times when I've been in the Niagara District on Niagara Street and at a restaurant, and then I've seen maybe 50 or 60 of them in a parking lot of a car wash with five-year-olds in the back. It's terrifying. You cannot have ATVs in the city of Buffalo. So if someone's got to take the hit and someone's got to be mad, I got big shoulders. I'll take it. It's a threat to public safety, and we have to do something to be able to take them. And if you see something, you need to say something. So if you see all-terrain vehicles of your neighbors or someone that's on the sidewalk, you need to call 311, 911, call your council member. But when you call them, you have to give accurate information. I saw a red ATV at 7 o'clock at night at this road, and give a description so that BPD can then use drones or use whatever they need to do to start tackling this pervasive issue. I will not escape this summer without getting a plethora of calls from the waterfront of people using our waterfront as racing strips. It deters people who want to come down to get an ice cream cone. It deters people who want to enjoy the water peacefully. It deters public safety. And I'm grateful to that this has been proposed and that I can be added as a sponsor. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. And if the sponsor is okay with it, I would like to add my name as well. When we originally proposed this back in 2020, 2021, it was one of our first few pieces, and we learned that ATV and dirt riders are very passionate about their ATV and dirt riding, and that's fine. But be passionate about it and not in our city parks and not on our city streets. There's appropriate places to use them, and it's not on our streets in the city of Buffalo because it's dangerous. One of the many incidents that, you know, made me want to propose the legislation along with you was in Seneca Babcock. We had the young rider who went through the fence and practically impaled himself, and thankfully he was safe and okay. But there are a million different situations like that that happen on the streets, and they're just riding Bailey and Delvin, driving down the street in big packs, and it's very dangerous. So we did as much as we could at the time with fines, fees, tried to make sure that, you know, there was title to the vehicles. If not, we'd be able to keep the vehicle and not give it back. But, you know, it's not a perfect catch-all. So hopefully this will be another added tool to the kids. Councilmember Rivera.
Thank you very much. Mr. Chair, we made it more restrictive to have ATVs in the city of Buffalo, or to even keep them, in terms of the storage fees, the fees for being caught, the insurance, the towing fee. It's almost next to impossible to retrieve the ATVs once they're seized. However, I think we probably could make it a little more restrictive in terms of the selling of them, the retrofitting of them, any work that's done them, the transferring of them in the city of Buffalo. We need to make it almost next to impossible for them to do business in the city of Buffalo. And perhaps we should look at other municipalities, how they're dealing with it, and see if their practices are even as stricter as ours. But I'd be willing to work and add my name to that. It's a big problem in my district. I've seen them in front of me. I've seen them, as you said, at that car wash, sometimes 50, 20. I've seen 200 on video at Front Park. They pose a risk not only to themselves for riding and the way they ride them, but to the general public up and down the streets, one way, on sidewalks. So I think we need to make it more restrictive. We had an incident not too long ago where a police car actually hit a ATV after pursuing them. I don't know the reason for the pursuit, because we know the policy is not to pursue them because of public safety. But they pose a risk even to the police officers and to the people that perhaps were in that park. And so I'd like to see it more restrictive as we possibly can make it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Majority? Yep.
I could, but everybody said everything already. I will add to that, the concern that I have in my district would definitely be more residential. So when you're driving down a one-way street where you have children and families playing consistently, the noise, and I'm talking like South Division, North Division, it's not acceptable, or on Jefferson, people can get hurt. And so I think this is common sense legislation. I'm grateful that my colleagues have all agreed to sign on to this as well. And so the motion, of course, is to adopt.
Seconded by Councilmember White.
Mr. President Pro Tem, I'd like to revisit items number 12 and 68.
Second, Councilwoman Everhart.
Item number 12, legal settlement, Ortiz.
Councilmember White.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I know that we've been through this a number of times. We talked about this in pre-caucus. It just seems as though every time there's some type of need for a settlement, we find the money somewhere. And I just scratch my head. It's like every time we do this, they find it somewhere. And this time they found it in the line for the police department. And it's just disconcerting. It's like, you know, we're scrapping for nickels and pennies and dimes, but it seems as though we have some contingency somewhere that the council members aren't aware of. And I think that's not good government. I think that's a problem. We're working with a very thin budget. But again, we can find money somewhere for things like this, which, you know, I'm not happy for the settlement, but it's the thing that we have to do. But we need to be a little bit more transparent on when those dollars are. I know that the administration has done this traditionally, hiding dollars, and maybe we can find them and we start looking at the budget in more detail, having time to look at it to see where those numbers may have fluctuated, so that things like this don't happen and we're pleasantly surprised, I guess, in this particular situation, but it shouldn't be happening that we don't know where the dollars are. Here we are struggling to try to increase our fund balance, our reserve balance. $6.5 million is going out here, but could that $6.5 million, had this not happened, gone back in our reserve? That's what I would hope, and I hope that there's other dollars we can put that, start building back our reserve. But this is just a little bit startling, because every single time we have a settlement, they're able to find it some way, somehow, and that concerns me. Thank you.
Thank you. Majority Leader?
Yeah, I'm just going to add to my colleague's comments. In pre-caucus was the first time we actually did hear about where the resources were coming for this particular settlement, and it was at that time we were told that it was from savings from pension, from vacancies. The ask was directly, and I asked the question of the administration, specifically Commissioner Nosworthy, did we know before the budget came out in April 8th? And the answer to that question was yes. We knew as far back as January that there was gonna be additional resources available. And so when we talk about the budget process itself, these are the kinds of questions that we'd asked during the budget. And this time we did get answers and we brought them back. This is one of those things that if you just tell us this information early, we won't ask these questions. And so to my colleague's point, when you don't communicate things, it makes it harder. When we talk about transparency in government and being fair and open and honest to those people that have elected us to represent them, just giving us the information ahead of time is helpful. It's great that we know that there's savings. There's always going to be some, according to the administration yesterday. But if you give us information, we can communicate it to our constituents, and we don't look like we're hiding anything from the people who have elected us to serve. So, thank you. I'd like to also revisit item number 68.
Second by Councilwoman Rakowski.
Motion to rescind the previous motion.
Second by Councilwoman Everhart.
Motion to approve.
Second by Councilmember Rivera.
And Mr. Chair.
Councilmember White.
First, I want to thank my colleague, Councilmember Fioretto. We've done a lot of work with the Tom Smith Sports Facility. And, you know, it's a pleasure to work when we have the same common goal. This is a great facility, not just for the University District, but for Delaware as well, and for the city of Buffalo. And we're trying to make certain that this facility accommodates our city. We want to make sure that people can utilize it. We don't want any favorites. We're looking at an RFP going out soon for an operator. And we want to make sure that this is a model facility, because I hope that we have more facilities built in our city, because these are things that we need. We're a cold climate city. We need recreational activities for our youth and families. So I'm looking forward to see those seniors and youth participate. When we got feet of snow outside, they're inside a nice facility, getting exercise and again, maybe honing their skills to do what they hope to do. I know the southern cities have the benefits of those facilities that our children don't always have access to, but I'm really excited about this facility. And again, I thank my colleague, Councilmember Fiorello, and also Parks and Rec and the DPW for their input and getting us information to make sure that these fees are in line, and because we're going to have to generate revenue from it. So we don't have a lot of money, but if we can generate revenue, it can be a zero net game that, again, the residents have access to it and it's not costing the city a dollar. That's the perfect situation. That's what we're going on. And again, thank you, my colleague, Councilmember Fiorello, for putting forth something and working together to make something great for our community.
Thank you.
Announcement of committee meetings. Committee on Civil Service will be Tuesday, June 17, 2025 at 9:45 a.m. Committee on Finance following Civil Service will be Tuesday, June 17, 2025 at 10 a.m. Committee on Legislation will be Tuesday, June 17, 2025 at 1 p.m. And Committee on Community Development will be Tuesday, June 17, 2025 at 2 p.m.
Council members, announcements for your district. Majority Leader Hilton.
I just want to remind everybody, Ellicott and elsewhere, that we are celebrating Juneteenth from the Ellicott District to the Maston District on Saturday. And I'd like everybody to come out and participate. Now, let me just tell you, you can't just jump in anybody's line. They need to know that. But we want to remember the emancipation of African Americans from slavery in 1865. And so we've been free-ish ever since. And this is one of the largest celebrations in the country. And it has consistently been that way. Next year, we celebrate 50 years. So I hope to see you all this weekend. Thank you.
Councilwoman Ewer.
Thank you, Council President. Just a reminder for Maston District residents, next Thursday is the annual Maston Family Reunion in Martin Luther King Park, and that is on Thursday, June 19th from 3 to 9 p.m. We ask that you please do register. Also, we are asking for your input for the Heart of Maston Award, so we're asking you to nominate someone in your neighborhood, in your community, to win the Heart of Maston Award. And if you need any more information, you can call our office, 716-851-5145. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Fiorello.
Thank you. In addition to the number of events going on in the city this weekend, on Saturday and Sunday, there will be the Hurdle Alley Mural Festival. So there's 28 local artists. They're going to be painting the back of the buildings on Hurdle Avenue. So nice. The Hurdle Alley will be transformed this weekend. If you guys want to stop by, they'll be painting all weekend. Thank you.
Awesome. Very good. I think that's it.
Motion to adjourn.
Second by Councilmember Rivera.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.